Well, Colossians chapter 1, we'll get right into it. Ooh, this one's still on. Alan, you want to mute that one? Colossians 1:20, talk about reconciliation. Got several folks. No, Mike's still out of town. I think he's coming back this weekend. California. Colossians 1:20, 19 for the context. And again, this is about reconciliation, the work of reconciliation. The Bible says, "For it pleased the Father," verse 19, "for it pleased the Father that in Him," that's Jesus Christ, "should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." All right, reconciliation. So in about 8 words there, "by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven," He says that He would reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him to reconcile all things to Himself. And that those few words there describe the entire scope of God's work, the scriptures point to in Jesus Christ, and that God is such a good God that when sin entered into His creation, that His choice was to reconcile it back to Himself. And that is incredible. And there's 3 things in these verses, or this verse, that really cover elements of reconciliation. But reconciliation, in a literal definition of it, is to bring back into union or back into fellowship something that had been alienated. And that's humanity. Mankind had been alienated from God through sin. And the Lord's response to that was to become sin and pay the price that man had brought on himself, and then reconcile those that would be willing. He would reconcile mankind back to Himself, and really more than mankind. He says He's going to reconcile all things, and the way that's going to be done is through Jesus Christ. And so that's the subject this evening. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about reconciliation. Father, thank You. Thank You for this great truth of reconciliation. Lord, I pray tonight You would encourage folks that are here. I pray that You'd feed Your flock. I pray that You'd help us get through this verse. And there's no way to exhaust this subject. I mean, we've got a full Bible here that is written about this subject of reconciliation, and there's no way to exhaust it, but to maybe get something out of these verses we'll look at, and something to feed us along the way here. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, and Lord, again, if anybody's not saved, I pray they'd understand their need for salvation. I think most everybody here is, but if anybody's not, Lord, I pray that You know the hearts, You know the souls, and I pray You'd encourage Your flock, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple of things about the definition of this word, reconciliation. So He's going to reconcile all things to Himself. Reconcile, to call back into union a friendship, and friendship the affections which have been alienated, to restore to friendship or favor after estrangement. Number 2, to bring to acquiescence, content, or quiet submission. Reconcile. or to make consistent, to bring to agreement or suitableness. I mean, all those things describe the relationship of two parties that have been alienated and now they've been brought together in agreement, brought together in mutual terms, brought together and restored. And so, like Jesus Christ said one time, he said, before you bring your gift to the altar, you know, reconcile with your whoever it is you need to reconcile with, and things like that. So, reconciliation, the fact that God's choice and the way He handled sin entering His creation is reconciliation. It is a display of God's character. Obviously, God is incredibly good. And the process and the planning and all that took place in all this, I want to show you a couple things about it. So God was so determined to reconcile mankind back to Himself that he wouldn't spare His own begotten Son, wouldn't spare Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ would be the instrument to bring fellowship from an alienated humanity back to God. Let me show you a couple of verses here about this. Look over in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. So reconciliation is the determination of God Almighty. That is God's determination that He would reconcile what needed to be reconciled in mankind. Daniel chapter 9. We read this typically, you know, it's prophecy, and it's prophecy, but it is the plan that God has determined and set forth, and you got an entire book of scriptures pointing to the man, Jesus Christ, who is also God, who would bring about this reconciliation. But it's the first point of this, is reconciliation is the determination of God. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, Daniel's given this prophecy. He's begging God for some answers, and the Lord comes through with an answer and gives him this about the nation of Israel. And he says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things: to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All right, in the mix of all that, you've got to make reconciliation for iniquity. That is the determination of God Almighty. That is His purpose and His plan. And I point that out, and I keep pointing that out, because that is the main theme and scope of the Bible. And so I say that to say, if we're not involved in that work, you're not involved in the work that's the main work that God is doing right now. He's trying to reconcile sinners back to Himself. All right, let me show it to you again. Look over in Acts chapter 2. Show it to you again. It's the determination of God. He is determined to reconcile sinners back to Himself. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 verse 22 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." See that determinate counsel? This is where this was going. The determinate counsel, so that God is determined to make this happen. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So that's there's death, burial, and resurrection. But I want you to notice verse 23, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the determination that God made to reconcile mankind back to himself. I'll show it to you one more time. Romans chapter 5. The extent of God's determination to do this, you'll see it here in Romans 5. When God is determined to do something, this is how far he goes with it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 5:10 says this: "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So here we are, enemies, and don't think this is anything new to you guys. But if you think about it, in God's perspective on reconciliation, he is determined to the point of not even sparing the Lord Jesus Christ to make reconciliation happen. That's how determined he is. And so you're not dealing with a God who loves to kill sinners. His determination is to reconcile. That's God's perspective on it. He says over there in Ezekiel chapter 33, he says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't, that doesn't give me any sort of glee or joy or anything like that, because my determination from when the time sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, from that time my determination is I am going to reconcile these sinners back to myself. And I'm so determined to do that, Jesus, it will cost my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, his life. And of course, Jesus Christ would have to become a man and all those things that are associated with it. But the first point is this: reconciliation is the determination of God Almighty. That's his work is. That's what he wants to do. All right, here's another thing about this reconciliation. Look in 2 Corinthians. Reconciliation to God, it's not only the determination of God, that he wasn't only determined to do that, but reconciliation is the ministry that he gives the saints. So once you become reconciled to God, your vocation now is to reconcile other sinners to God. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Reconciliation to God is the ministry of the saints. And this is not a personality issue. It's not that, I don't like reconciliation or preaching the gospel is for some people, but it's not for me, or, I'm shy or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I get all that, but this isn't a personality issue. This is a new vocation that you've been entered into. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us," all right, after you've been reconciled to him, "he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." So that's what God Almighty was doing in Jesus Christ. He is reconciling the world to himself. Now, that becomes our ministry. "Not imputing their trespasses," verse 19, halfway through it, "not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So we can't perform the work of it, but we can speak about it. We can talk about it. That's the new job you've got. Now watch this, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So here's the vocation you have now. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've been reconciled to God. Your vocation now is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I'll give you a few things about an ambassador. Being an ambassador, like I said, first thing is it's not a personality issue. It's a new vocation that you have. It's not that some people are good at it and some people are bad at it. It's if you've been reconciled to God, you know how to be reconciled to God, so now tell other people how to be reconciled to God and help them do it. But if you're an ambassador, the embassy or any embassy, it is the diplomatic representation of a country's government in a foreign country. So you got an embassy in one place, and that embassy, you know, say you got the American embassy, you know, I guess Trump moved, for instance, the American embassy to Jerusalem now. And so that means our representation, or we're recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, and we are, our representation in that nation is in that city. That's where America's representation is now. And just that goes the same for any embassy. So it's the diplomatic representation. That's important. One of the jobs of an ambassador, I'll just read a few of these. An ambassador transmits messages of its home government to the government of the host country and vice versa. So you know what you do as an ambassador? You transmit messages to a foreign country where we live. You know, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. Our country is not here. It's heaven. I mean, it's not here. And so we transmit messages from that nation, from God's kingdom to this foreign land, just like an ambassador. An ambassador, here's another one. An ambassador informs its home government about important issues going on in the host country. You know what that's like? It's like praying. Lord, help us here. We're in trouble over here. We got this going on or this going on. And what you're doing is you're informing your home country about things that are going on where you're at in your foreign nation here. And it's an illustration. I hope you're getting the illustration. You're an ambassador. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're no longer of this world. You're in the world, but you're no longer of this world. So you are an alien in this world. You are an outsider in this world. But you are an ambassador of God's kingdom. Here's another one. An ambassador, listen to this one. An ambassador promotes his own home culture, economy, and science in the host country. So it's our job to promote the culture of God's kingdom in this world we live in. That's what an ambassador does. Now, here's one more thing. Do you know what happens to ambassadors right before war? Anybody know what happens to ambassadors? They get pulled out of the country. You know what happens to ambassadors? Jesus Christ, the ambassadors, before he commits war or he starts warfare with the world, he takes the ambassadors out. That's what happens with ambassadors. So right before the home country decides to declare war on this nation, ambassadors all go home and they close up the embassy. That's a good picture of the rapture. It's a good picture of Christians getting out of here before God commences with war. Because remember, here's what the embassy is. It is a diplomatic representation of another nation. And when there's no more diplomacy between that foreign or that nation, there's war now. If there's no more diplomacy, the ambassadors are gone. There's no more diplomacy. Now it's just war. I hope that makes some sense to you, but it's a diplomatic representation, and when there's no more talking about diplomacy and it's just going to be military warfare, then the diplomats leave. And you know what we are? We're just ambassadors. And right now, God is in the position of extending the hand of diplomacy to sinners until he's done with that. And once he's done with that, he will commence with warfare on this world. But the ambassadors will be gone, and that's the way that thing goes. So, second thing about all this, reconciliation, that's God's current ministry with his saints. So reconciliation is God, what God is doing right now with his ambassadors, with his saints. If you've been reconciled to God, you can tell other people how to be reconciled to God. You can help other people be reconciled to God. And that is a vocation that you have now. All right, and last thing here. Reconciliation is accomplished in the body of Christ. You've read that, but I'll show it to you in this verse here. Look over in Ephesians. Chapter 2. I think we read this Sunday school. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. So reconciliation is accomplished for both Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:11, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh." So that's you and me. We're Gentiles. We are just the other nations. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." So the Jews call the Gentiles dogs. They call us uncircumcision, all that kind of stuff. We're just you know, outside all the promises of to Israel and all that kind of stuff. But here's what happens though. Verse 12, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise," which we talked about in Sunday school, "having no hope and without God in the world." So here's what the nations do. You got one nation that is given revelation from God, that's Israel. There's no other nation like that in the world. And what the other nations do is we just kind of wander around in darkness trying to figure things out, to the point that now you could read about stuff in the Old Testament that got so horrible, where children are being sacrificed, and it's just like, how do people go that far? And now you have that as a political platform. Abortion, I mean, that's a political platform. We talk about that in this men's group a little bit. But you know what that is? That is just the nations wandering around in darkness trying to figure out what they want to do, and their motivation for making decisions will always revolve around, how do I make more money doing this? So you say, how does child sacrifice fit into this? Well, if it's a moneymaker, then it can be big business. And that's what the nations end up doing. So here's where we are, verse 12, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." All right, that's your condition. "But now," verse 13, "in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one." The both is talking about verse 11 is Jews and Gentiles. Uncircumcision, circumcision. We're separated. We're different. You got all the Gentiles who are without hope and without God in the world, and you got the nation of Israel who has all this revelation of God. "But now, in Jesus Christ, made nigh by the blood of Christ," verse 14, "for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, Jews, Gentiles, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. That is Jesus Christ's body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. So now reconciliation is peace with God. And then came and preached peace to you which were afar off, Gentiles, and to them which were nigh, Israel. So in one body, he would reconcile all things back to himself. And he's just describing exactly what he says in Colossians. He says, by him he will reconcile all things back to himself by Jesus Christ. And so in his body he does that. Sheds his blood, and God the Father finds satisfaction in that and says, okay, the penalty for sin has been paid. I am satisfied with that payment, with that, you know, because the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ lives a perfectly sinless life, dies on the cross, sheds his blood, and now God the Father is satisfied. I'll show it to you in the Old Testament how he says it in Isaiah. Look in Isaiah chapter 53, last verse here. That God would be satisfied with that, and thus the body of Jesus Christ would become the vessel for which peace with God could be had and reconciliation would be made. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There you go. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's a description of what Jesus Christ will do 700 years later. That he would satisfy the penalty that we incurred. We've incurred on ourselves. Jesus Christ would satisfy the penalty. God the Father would look at it, and it would be his determination from forever, from whenever it started, but it would be his determination to reconcile mankind back to himself. And when he sees the blood of Jesus Christ, death on the cross, he says, now I am satisfied with the payment for sin. Now, in Jesus Christ, all who will can come freely. And Jesus Christ, of course, he dies on the cross. You got the veil of the temple. It's rent, you know, top to bottom, all that stuff. So access to God is now the body of Jesus Christ for anybody, whoever. And all those Old Testament saints who are waiting for access to God, now they have it. They've got it now in the body of Jesus Christ. And everybody after the cross, you've got it in Jesus Christ. Everything would be reconciled. So here's the verse we read and that we started with. I'll just read it to you one more time. He says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, everything would be reconciled in the body of Jesus Christ. So that is the entire scope of the scriptures describe God's work of reconciliation, and it's just that it's so broad, it's so vast, but really everything will depend on the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's how he describes it. So reconciliation, number one, it was the determination of God that God would reconcile man back to himself. Number two, reconciliation is the ministry of the saints. If you've been reconciled to God, that's your ministry, reconciliation now. Reconciliation is accomplished for Jews, Gentiles, for everybody in the body of Christ. So that is reconciliation, and that's a description of it, and that is the vast work of reconciliation in Jesus Christ. So let's pray.